In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. So today we find ourselves at the leave-taking of the Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross. With most of our church feasts, there's a little bit of a preparatory time, the pre-feast, and then a good amount of time afterward, where we continue to celebrate the feast, to sing hymns, to have the gospel readings be related to that feast that we have just celebrated. And so today is the last day of this after feast, which we call the leave-taking of the Exaltation of the Cross. And so on this day, we hear Christ tell us, "Take up your cross and follow me." Now, in my head, I imagine if I were present listening to this, or my at least initial reaction is, I don't want to. Crosses are uncomfortable. They're heavy. They're hard to bear. Maybe I can go have that smaller cross over there. But then in my head, I go over to that smaller cross and I kind of test it out, and it's still heavier than I want. Maybe I'll go take that pillow and blanket and go take a nap. That's what I want. But he doesn't say, pick whatever cross you want. He doesn't say, put down your cross, take up the pillow and go take a nap. He says, take up your cross and follow me. But why? Why? Why should we? And the sinful thought enters my mind, what do I get out of it? Don't follow that example, please. But Christ tells us, Christ answers the question because he knows that I'm going to ask it. He asks, do we desire to come after him? Well, have we joined him in baptism? Then we've already made that choice to come after him, to be united to him in his death and his resurrection. Do we desire life? Well, then we must take up our cross. We must unite ourselves for this, to Christ for his sake, and take up our cross for his sake and for the sake of the good news of his resurrection. For I know when I try to live my life on my own terms, powered by my own steam, it's usually a mess. Usually a big mess. But when I empty myself and I allow God to fill me instead, his goodness and his mercy is also present in me. And so when this is true, when we empty ourselves and instead fill ourselves with Christ, we can join St. Paul in saying, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. You know, this dying to have life is very contradictory. And Father Thomas Hopko liked to point out that this is quite common. He says, the scripture is very clear. If you want to find yourself, first lose yourself. If you want to fulfill yourself, empty yourself. If you want to be great, be the least. If you want to be first, be last. If you want to be rich, become poor. If you want to be wise, become a fool. If you want to rule, become a servant. Really, orthodoxy is paradoxy. Wise words. So again, Christ tells us, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself. It's not about me. It never was. Nor should it ever be about me. And when I make it about me, I leave very little room for Christ to live and act in me. And we have all of these wonderful ministries in the church. You're going to hear about quite a few of them in our annual meeting a little later on. And each of these ministries, for those that participate in them, require time, effort, patience, dialogue. In short, mini crucifixion on a small scale. Yet if we approach these ministries as, this is my thing, we're going to do it my way, there's no room for you, we're not going to do it like that. Where's Christ? We have just inserted ourselves where Christ ought to be. And that's not to say that we can't force some good to come out of it. But imagine, just imagine, how much more blessed that ministry will be and how much more it will bless others if we remember that it's Christ's ministry and not our own. If we remember to do everything in prayer, to seek His will, and remember that He welcomes those who want to serve Him. And the same goes with the parish council. We're going to elect some new members today. This is a role that comes with great responsibility. It's not a chance to finally make things the way I want it to be, or I was hated doing that. Now I can get rid of it. It's not about you. It's not about you. It is about being a good steward for our community, this community which God has planted here, caring for it on behalf of the Master until He returns again. It's about working together with those whom God has called together with you for the building up of this community. This is what it means to be on the parish council or to serve in any of the wonderful and many ministries of the church. If we were to set ourselves up as, this is my ministry, this is my authority, it's about me, well, we've automatically set ourselves in opposition to everyone else. There's no possibility of unity. If I'm looking out for me and you're looking out for you, we're already divided. We can't have community without first unity. And so we can't be that source of unity. Neither should the priest or the parish council president or anyone else be the reference point for the unity of the parish. But only Christ. We heard twice in the past 24 hours, once this morning in Orthros and once last night at Vespers, a hymn that was sung for the Feast of the Cross. O strange wonder, great and marvelous, the cross which held the Most High like a grape cluster full of life, clearly doth appear this day lifted high above the earth. Through it, we have all been drawn nigh unto God. And another hymn that was read in Orthros this morning spoke of Christ through stretching out his arms on the cross, drawing together all the nations in himself. This is what he does for us on the cross. And this is what he calls us to do when we take up our cross and follow him. To deny ourselves. And when we do this, we are made whole and alive in Him. We have complete and perfect unity in Him. Let this be our aim, to join ourselves to Christ, following Him to the cross. Amen.